Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Open Arms Church. As our friends continue to come in, happy Labor Day weekend. Hopefully everyone has been having a good Labor Day weekend so far. It's good to be gathered here together. If this morning, if you happen to be visiting us here at Open Arms Church for the first time, we'd like to extend a special welcome to you. After the service today, stop by the cafe. There is a booth there, and there's a gift bag that we'd like to give to you as a way of saying thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. Hopefully every one of you, as you came in, you received a program. There's a lot of information on there, a lot of upcoming opportunities. I'm not going to go over all of them because I trust that you can read and take a look at that for yourself. Everything that's on there describes the what that we're doing, but actually a little bit later during the message this morning, we're going to talk about the why. Why do we do those things? So stay tuned for that. You'll be hearing more about that. One announcement I did want to make that did not make it into the program. Many of you may have received an email this past week, but just want to share with excitement that each pastoral candidate, both Brian Helf and Will Kent, individually received a 93% affirmative vote, which we are thrilled about. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. So thank you, church, for your prayerful consideration, for looking through those biblical qualifications. We're so excited for them to be part of this pastoral team as we continue to move forward. Right now, I'd like to lead us in a word of prayer. And as I do so, I just want to acknowledge and say a thank you in advance to everyone in the room who is a school teacher, whether that's in a school setting, whether you're teaching your own children at home. As we get ready to start this new school year, that's an incredible responsibility, incredible privilege. And so I want to take some time to also pray for you and for our schools, for education, for our children in general as well. So let's pray. Father, as we come into your house this morning, Lord, we're thankful that you have revealed yourself to us. Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you give us. Most of all, through Jesus, through your word, Lord, why we come together is to examine those things, consider those things, apply those things. Lord, help us today to hear from you, that what you have for us would challenge us, would encourage us. As we sing to you in worship song, Lord, may it inspire us. May it remind us of how good you are. May that prompt our hearts to praise. Lord, as we have turned the calendar into September and we anticipate many new things starting and the conclusion of summer, Lord, we do pray for everyone who is in the educational system, for all of our teachers, for administrators, for support staff, for parents that are homeschooling their children. Lord, to pour into the next generation is something that you call all of us to do in many different ways. And so we pray especially for those who that is part of their life, a significant portion of their week, Lord, that you would give them strength, that you would give them wisdom, that what they teach and how they teach would instill your values, instill a love for you, Lord, in the next generation that is growing up. So we commit them to you as ambassadors of yours in the various places where they work. And Lord, for each one of us that works in different fields, in different areas, Lord, every single one of us, wherever you have placed us, we have an opportunity to talk about you, to share your goodness, to worship you, to praise you, and to have those conversations with each other. So help us to do that, not just this week, not just this month, but throughout our life. So Lord, as we spend this time together this morning, help us, Father, just to get a clear sense of who you are, and may we be changed as a result. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us if you're able as we sing together?
Since far away, rising justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led him on Calvary's mountain. Die on a tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is here. And that healed nations stretched out on a tree, took the nails for me, living he loved me, dying he saved. Mary, he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him from rising again. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day, glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming, one day the skies will hear. Wonderful day, my beloved one, bring. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. My living hope.
Do you know that all
the talk won't stop the light from getting through. We do. Do you wish you could see it all made new? We do. Is all creation groaning? It is. Is a new creation coming? It is. Is the glory of the Lord to be light within our midst? It is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy of all blessing and honor and glory. Only you are worthy. Only you are able to break the seal and open the scroll. We praise you, and with hearts of gratitude, Lord, for your worthiness, we come now to your word. We open it. We ask that you would teach us. May we hear your voice, your words, your message to us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your worthiness. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you have a seat? Acts 14 is where we're going to be today. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn there. As you turn there, there are many things that we can talk about. There's many conversations that we can have, and there are some conversations, there's some topics that you're not supposed to talk about. For example, you're not supposed to ask your boss how much they make. It's not really a good idea to go up to them and be, hey, can you show me your last pay stub? I want to compare. Probably not a good conversation to have. It's not a good idea to ask a woman her age or how pregnant she is, especially if you're not sure. Don't know anyone that's ever done that. It's typically not a good idea to bring up politics at a party. It's not good. It's a bad habit to spread gossip, to pass along rumors. There's many things that it's not good to talk about, but there's at least one thing that it's always good to talk about. In fact, we should never stop talking about it. And that's the gospel. Never stop talking about the gospel. In Acts chapter 14, where we're going to find ourselves this morning, we're going to read about ordinary men, just like you and me, who acted with extraordinary boldness to keep talking about the gospel despite increasingly hostile opposition. And through that true story of these two ordinary men, God also has something to say to us. He wants to challenge us, remind us, encourage us through their life for you and I today to never stop talking about the gospel. Don't ever stop talking about the gospel with those who don't know it yet, even if sometimes it's hard, even if sometimes it's uncomfortable. But also, don't ever stop talking about the gospel with those who do know it. Keep talking about the gospel with one another because we need to be reminded, we need to be encouraged of how it changes our life. And for anyone here this morning who's not sure what the gospel is, that's in here as well. So follow along with me as I read Acts chapter 14. We're going to be reading the entire chapter. Really quickly before I start, this is kind of a part two to Acts chapter 13, the passage that we looked at together last week, where we saw Paul and Barnabas sent out by the church to go to different cities, different places to spread the gospel, to talk about the gospel in different places. Last week, when we saw the end of Acts chapter 13, they were in the town of Antioch in Pisidia, and they were threatened because they were talking about the gospel. They were threatened, and so they left Antioch in Pisidia, and they moved on, and that's where we find ourselves this morning in Acts chapter 14 and verse 1. At Iconium. Now at Iconium, they, Paul and Barnabas, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews, this was a group that had followed them from the previous city, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers, against the new believers. So they, Paul and Barnabas, remained for a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country, and there they continued to preach the gospel. Now at Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him, and seeing that he had faith to be made well, literally to be saved, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he sprang up and began walking. And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in Lycaonian, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. Barnabas, they called Zeus, and Paul, Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance to the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways, yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifice to them. But Jews, that same group, came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up. He entered the city, and on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. Don't ever stop talking about the gospel. But what is the gospel? Well, it certainly dominated what Paul and Barnabas spoke about. Look at verse 7. When they were in Lystra, they continued to preach the gospel. Verse 21, when they arrived in Derbe, they preached the gospel to that city. In verse 25, they spoke the word in Perga. It certainly dominated their conversation. There weren't a few different messages that they were giving. Every place that they went, every opportunity that they had, they talked about the gospel. They spoke about the gospel. It also certainly gave them a boldness to do so. Did you notice what they went through in all of these multiple cities? Now, as we read through these cities, as I tried my best to pronounce the names, probably most of us in the room are not familiar with where these places are. Many of them have been renamed, and they might exist today, but in a different name. But either way, the original recipients of Luke's account would have known exactly where these places were. We don't have that. So to help us understand the geographical context, I've asked a few volunteers to give me some help. So we're going to make this room into a geography lesson. And this platform where I'm standing, we're going to make this be Antioch. Antioch is the home base. Antioch is where Paul and Barnabas started their journey from. We saw that at the start of Acts chapter 13. And the first place that they went to was Antioch and Pisidia. So Ryan is going to stand. Thank you, Ryan. And Ryan is Antioch and Pisidia. Please address him as that from now on. So the first place they went was to Antioch and Pisidia. A good trip. From there, they moved on to Iconium. Iconium is going to be represented by our friend Kevin. Thank you, Kevin. From Iconium, they went on to Lystra, which is going to be Joel over here. Joel is Lystra. And then after Lystra, they spent time in Lystra, they went to Derbe. Derbe is going to be represented by Daryl. By the time that Paul and Barnabas were in Derbe, they were 75% of the way back home. They went through all this persecution, all these threats, all these stonings in these different cities. Friend, if you were in Derbe and you had to get here, what would be the best way to get home? This way, right? You're mostly there. You're most of the way there. Thank you, friends. You can sit down. What did they do the end of verse 21? They returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. We're going to pull up a picture on the wall just to show this a different way. Paul and Barnabas deliberately went the long way back home. The green arrow is how they could have easily gotten home. Nobody would have held anything against them. They went to all these cities, but they went back into the cities of persecution where you see those little flames. They went back. Why? Because the message of the gospel was so important. They had to go back. They wanted to go back to keep talking about it, to keep encouraging the believers, to keep making new disciples. The gospel was so worth it that they went the long way, the risky way, to get back home just so that they could keep talking about the gospel. So what is the gospel? Paul used this great term in the middle of verse 15. The gospel literally means good news. Paul, to the people of Lystra, he said, we bring you good news. And how did he describe it, verses 16 and 17? Paul added, in past generations, God allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways. But he did not leave himself without witness. In other words, he still made his presence known, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. God provided rain. Now, again, today in 2023, when we might hear that, we might tend to think of rain as more of a nuisance. Rain cancels things. Because of rain, we missed one of our lunches on the lawn this past summer. We don't usually think of rain as like, oh, wow, I'm so glad it's here. But in an agricultural society, such as what the people were living in back then, and in many other places around the world today, rain is life or death. Rain is your livelihood. If it rains, your crops grow, and you can feed your family, and you can bring those crops to the market, and you can sell those, and with the money, you can buy other things that your family needs. And if it does not rain, you have nothing. Your family starves. You have nothing to sell. Therefore, you have nothing that you can buy. Rain was a matter of life and death. And what Paul is reminding them and what Paul is showing them, what Paul is explaining and proving to them is that the creator of all the universe directed the rain to provide, to keep generations of people alive physically. That's good news. But the better news is what we saw in verse 16, that God was patient with people who ignored him. Who ignored his provision, who took for granted all the goodness that they have, who didn't stop to think, huh, I wonder where this rain, I wonder where these fruitful seasons are coming from. There must be a God out there who's providing that. They ignored that, they neglected it, and yet the better news was that God was patient with them. But the best news of all time, what the gospel really is that God not only made a way for generations to stay physically alive, but God made a way for us to be spiritually alive, truly, fully alive. Many religions advertise spiritual life, spiritual fulfillment. Many people will talk about a pathway to happiness, to purpose, to satisfaction. But those people and the leaders of all those other religions, you know, one thing that they all have in common, we can go to visit their burial place. 13 years ago, my wife and I had the privilege of going to Israel, and we went to the place where Jesus was buried. But we walked right in. Why? Because it was empty. Friends, Jesus is the only living God. That's what Paul highlighted here. We bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things, these empty things, these insufficient things to a living God. Only Jesus, God himself in human form, has made a way for us to be made spiritually alive. He's the only one. It's why we worship him. It's why talking about him is so necessary. It's so life-giving because he is the only one that conquered death. He's the only one that came back to life. And he's the only perfect one that can make a way for us to be made right with a perfect God. Amen, Lord. Therefore, Because of that truth, because of the gospel truth of who Jesus is, therefore, even if it's awkward, even if it's uncomfortable, even if at times it might be dangerous, don't ever stop talking about the gospel. At times, that's going to be hard. We saw that acknowledged in verse 22. Look at the end verse of 22. As Paul and Barnabas went back, they're encouraging these believers, and they were reminding them that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. That part of being a follower of Jesus is facing tribulation, facing hardship, facing opposition. If being a Christian is comfortable, might be missing something. What are we more motivated by? Are we more motivated by avoiding personal discomfort? Or are we more motivated by helping others avoid damnation? At times, that might put us in an awkward conversation. At times, that might even invoke threats or worse. But it's worth it, because only through Jesus can we have life. And through, we ought to expect as Christians that through tribulations, through hardships, that's going to be part of our journey. Why? Because look at how Jesus suffered. And we are certainly not greater than him. If he went through it, if he was persecuted, so too we should expect it. Expecting it might help us to be bold to share the gospel just as Paul and Barnabas did. We need to push through that discomfort because people around us are starving to find something to live for that's beyond themselves. Just like the people in Lystra did. When they witnessed this miracle take place, God giving Paul the ability to produce this miracle in this man who had not walked. Verse 11, what did they do? Did they worship God? No. What did they do? When they saw what Paul had done, they worshiped him. They said, the gods have come down to us. And they gave names. They called them Zeus and Hermes, Greek gods. The priest came. They brought oxen and garlands. They wanted to offer a sacrifice. They were hungry. They were starving for something transcendent, something bigger than them. And so maybe here's the thing. Here's the thing that we've been waiting for. Most of us today, and most people that you know, probably don't worship Greek gods. But we might worship, we might admire, we might follow a cause, maybe a political ideology that we're all in on that. That's going to be the thing that changes the world. We in our quest for belonging and identity, we gravitate to a sports team, to a Facebook group, to a whole variety of different things, trying to find something that gives me purpose, that gives me meaning, that gives me identity beyond myself. One of the reasons that God invites us to yield our lives to him and to become part of a church, which is literally just a gathering of believers, a community of gathered believers. One of the reasons that God invites us into that is to, in that, to find that thing that we've been looking for, to find something that we share in common that's better than a political party, that's better than a sports team, that's better than a cause, but to share an identity that's built around a life in Jesus Christ. And being part of a community of gathered believers gives us the opportunity, and it reminds us, to not only talk about the gospel with those who don't know Jesus yet, but to also keep talking about the gospel with one another. The gospel is not something that just gets us saved and then we move past it, but it's something that we keep talking about, we keep encouraging each other with, we keep challenging each other with, to think through how the gospel relates to life. Having those conversations is what motivated Paul and Barnabas to go back the long way. Look again at the end of verse 21. They returned to those cities where they had faced persecution. They returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, doing what? Verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, to continue in the grace of God. Literally, to not move beyond the gospel. Keep going. Keep living in that. They encouraged them. Later in Acts, we'll read that Paul went back two more times to each of these cities. His time, His travels were driven by the priority of looking for opportunities to continue to reinforce gospel truth. This wasn't just a one-time conversation. This is something that he went back again and again and again to keep talking about, to keep encouraging other believers to continue in the grace of the gospel that's only offered through Jesus Christ. What does that look like for us? Being a Christian doesn't mean that we talk about the Bible 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If nothing else, we need to sleep. I don't know if you've ever tried to go a week without sleeping, but if you do try, let me tell you, you're not going to be a very effective communicator. You're not going to talk about the gospel very well because you're going to be a zombie. And nobody likes to listen to zombies. People run away from zombies. That's just what we do. So it doesn't mean that we only talk about the Bible 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So what does it mean? I would like to offer that one thing that we can do, one way that we could look at this, is that every time we do gather, however we gather, whether in a large group, whether one-on-one, in any capacity, whenever we do get together with other believers, let's look to take at least a few moments to share or to ask each other to share what God has been doing in our life recently. Verse 27, when Paul and Barnabas arrived back in Antioch, they gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them. We can do the same thing. Declare what God has done with you. Tell someone about it. It could be 30 seconds. It could be 30 minutes. Declare what God has done. Declare how a relationship with Jesus, being adopted into his family, has changed your perspective, has changed your priorities, has encouraged you this week, has challenged you this week. Declare what God has done. Look for ways to do that in any context that we get together. This morning, earlier, I mentioned on the program, we have a whole bunch of what. There's a whole bunch of upcoming opportunities that are always listed there. They change, but there's different ways that we get together. I said I would talk about the why. That's what I'm doing now. Why do we do those things? Why do we have those groups? Why do we have those activities? Why do we have those get-togethers? It's so that we can take the truth of God's word, that we can take the gospel and we can apply it in very specific ways as individuals to very specific topics, to take the gospel and seek to understand how it relates to healing from abuse. That's what mending the soul is about. To take the gospel and see what it has to say about the dignity of every life from conception until its natural end, but to also understand and consider how the gospel relates to the dignity of life for a woman that has had an abortion and is carrying the scars of that. How do you heal from that? What does God say to her? What does God say to the father? How do you heal from those wounds? How does God want to bring restoration into that life? Applying the gospel in very specific ways is why we have a retreat for men to learn more about biblical manhood, why we have a retreat for ladies to learn more about biblical womanhood, why we have get-togethers out on the lawn so that we can gather with others, both those who don't know Jesus yet and those who do, to remind each other and to declare what God has done. That's the why. And there's a million more whats that we can do. But that's the why. That's the reason to participate and get involved. Don't ever stop talking about the gospel. Because as we do so, we can't help but keep falling more in love with Jesus. And as we delight in the love of a living God, everyone around you is going to want the same thing. Both those who know Jesus and have that personal relationship with him, but that will also be infectious in a positive way to those who don't know him yet. Don't ever stop talking about the gospel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of your word and how the recording of a true story that happened a couple thousand years ago can have such purpose and meaning and application for us today. Lord, help us to understand and be in awe of the gospel. Jesus, how you, in your perfection, you died the death that we deserve for our imperfection, for our sin. And because of that, you have offered us your righteousness, your perfection, so that we can be adopted into God's family, so that we can be made right with an almighty creator God. That upside down equation is the most valuable thing that we could ever respond to and the most valuable thing that we could ever share with one another. So Father, today, this week, this month, and for the rest of our life, Lord, help us to never stop talking about the incredible truth of your gospel, that many more would come to hear it and respond to it and know how it brings us from hopelessness to hope, from despair to joy, from worshiping created things to worshiping the creator of all things. Jesus, we worship you. Thank you for your truth. In your name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with us again? We can start by singing the gospel with each other. So let's do that this morning.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but now alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name when I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your glorious day. You called my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old man knew, Jesus, did I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your glorious day. You called my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your glorious day. I need a rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. I was broken, you were my healing, now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you call my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your glorious day. You call my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your glorious day.
Let's sing that one more time. Let's sing it out strong.
You call my name. And I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your glorious day. You call my name. I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your glorious day.
Let's go back to the bridge and sing that again together.
I needed a rescue. My sin was heavy. Chains break at the wheel of your glory. Needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. Cause when you call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your glorious day. You call my name. I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your glorious day.
Sing one more time.
You call my name. I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your glorious day. You call my name. I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your glorious day.
All right, well, thanks for joining us this morning, worshiping with us, and have a great Labor Day weekend. We'll see you next week.